Welcome to the Develop Yourself podcast, where we teach you everything you need to land your first job as a software developer by learning to develop yourself, your skills, your network, and more. I'm Brian, your host. Today on the Develop Yourself podcast, I have Vanessa Vun, who is a software engineer, a career transitioner. I've known her on LinkedIn, met her off LinkedIn. She's got a sizable following, excellent advice, and just a really cool story. And I want to talk a little bit about what it's like being a woman in tech, career transitioning after 30, and the life after learning to code. Because now you went through the whole learning in public, looking in for a job in public, and now you're finally at the promised land, which is really the start of a brand new game. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm happy to like catch up with you after some time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I meet a lot of people on LinkedIn, but you're one of the few people that surprisingly lives in the Bay Area, and we actually got to meet up and hang out and get some quick lunch in person, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm, because I live in the Bay Area, I get to see a lot of people in person too from LinkedIn. So I'm constantly looking up for ways to meet people in person. But it's funny, like I'm introverted, but to me, meeting people is exciting because we get to talk about the things we love, like coding or anything tech.
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. Like the different energy when you meet people in real life, as opposed to like on camera, or if you follow somebody online and you have this idea of what their voice is like or their persona is like, and you meet them in public, I'm pleasantly surprised a lot of times. Like I've met a lot of spicy people on like LinkedIn that have this persona that I meet in real life, and they're really cool. Like in general, most of the people I've met online have been just very nice. You included. You've been really cool to see your story. Which I want to get into. You have an interesting background. Can you talk a little bit about what you were doing before you were learning to code?
Mm-hmm. I was a clinical lab scientist for the past 10 years in healthcare and biotech. So basically, I'm the people you never see in the lab with vials of samples in hospitals and biotech labs. So if you ever wonder like where your pregnancy test went or where your blood samples go, that would go to the people like us, the lab scientists. But yeah, I went to that role after I didn't know what to do after college, because at first I wanted to become a doctor. But after not achieving like a 4.0 at UC Berkeley, I was like, I am not good enough. Like, so I just
like
went with a different route.
7 or something?
Something like that. Yeah. I was really competitive. I was like surrounded with other pre-med students. So the standard was high. And I thought like I didn't hit that standard.
So this was not your dream occupation?
No, actually my parents, especially my dad, wanted me to become a doctor. So I was trying to fulfill their dream. I actually started coding in middle school. But I was steered in a direction to become a doctor. So I quit that. And also my bio teacher said that I should be a doctor because I have the handwriting of a doctor. So I'm like, okay, sure. Let me try that. Let me ditch coding. I'm the only girl. I don't fit in. So whatever. That was my mindset back then.
It's so interesting how little things that people say to us at certain stages of our life. Like that person probably totally forgot they ever even told you that. And I don't know if you're like being funny or not, but did that like really actually kind of draw you into going the medical route?
Yeah, it was just like that one thing, that one day that I remembered for a long time. So like this, like hearing it from my dad like once or twice and hearing it from that bio teacher, it just set my course because I didn't know what I was going to do for the rest of my life. So I just listened to the people who I think got their life together.
That's funny. And now like I don't know, I'm maybe a little older than you, but I try to be careful of that too, because I realize how powerful that is when people kind of put that on you and they say, you should do this, or, oh, you shouldn't do that. Or people like you or whatever, don't do that. You should just do this. And that can stick with you. And you think they got it all together. And I realize now, no one has it all together. At least I certainly don't. Yeah. It's kind of crazy that way.
At 35, I did a career switch and I thought I had it all together. But the whole time in my 20s and leading up to that, I didn't know what I was doing.
Because that's a pretty cool title you had at the other place. A lot of people would look at that other job and say, well, why would you ever leave that? And I'm curious, because it's not like, you know, a lot of people transition from like, I don't know, to work in security or to fast food, at jobs that don't really have much trajectory. And this sounds like you went to college, you went to a very prestigious college, you got this role, and then you decide, I just don't want to do this anymore. What made you want to quit?
Yeah, actually, like maybe 2 or 3 years in doing that role, I felt really bored because laboratory science is very stable. So things don't change very much. And for new tests or instruments to happen in the lab, it takes like 5-10 years for that to happen. So I started going to school in management for a master's degree because I was just that bored. And there was a particular book there in the mass management school I read about career changing. And that was like the seed that implanted in my head. Like, I don't have to stay within healthcare or being a scientist to fulfill like that thirst inside me. Like, I didn't know what it was. I just wanted something different. But when the pandemic hit in 2020, that was when I really sat down and did soul searching. I even took a strength training class, like figure out what my strengths are, what sparks joy inside me. And I started writing down like what I enjoyed as a kid, and coding and art was the spark of it. That was something I wanted to go back to. So I started coding a little bit to see if I still like it. Couple months later, I'm like, hey, I still enjoy it. And it has the artistic side to it. And that's when I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for this because it felt right.
That's awesome. That also is in line with what a lot of people that I see that are successful. They don't just go directly into like, I'm just going to do this and that's going to be my job. They decide, is this actually something I like? So when you decided, hey, do I like this enough to pursue it as a full-time career? What did you do? Did you go on Codecademy or just videos, or what did you do to make that decision?
Yep, it was Codecademy because it's number one on Google.
Yep.
But there was a part where I hit the React portion, and then reading for that portion was like making me so bored. And that's where I started looking out for different resources. And I found a website called Scrimba where they really teach you how to use React. Like they don't just show it to you, they make you do it too. So that's where I felt like I learned a lot about React, that kind of framework.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about that site. And I'm a huge fan of doing like hands-on stuff. You know, it's just kind of the way I like to learn. I know everybody has a different way of doing it. Some people really like videos. I tend to like text because I can just consume it faster. And then I want to just mess around until I get something on the screen that works. And that's typically how I learn the best. I think that's how most people do it. Probably why Scrimba is so popular. Outside of like these sources, did you do like any other like a boot camp or formal education, mentorship, or just all self-taught?
It's all self-taught. I created like a curriculum for myself. I actually studied a lot of different boot camps on their curriculum on like what they taught. And so I kind of picked and choose from those subjects and put it in my own curriculum. And I created my own schedule and then picked out like what Udemy courses would fit into this kind of curriculum. So it's a lot of just figuring out what I like, because I didn't want to go into the bootcamp route because I'm like tied to that schedule. And I didn't want to be like studying like for 4 months straight, because I had like around that time I was getting married and I had like honeymoon like in the middle of it. So I wanted to have the time to enjoy my honeymoon and not be like and not miss it just because I have a boot camp. So I wanted the flexibility in learning on my own at my own time.
That is really impressive and ambitious, but it makes sense. It sounds like your life has been a bit of an ambitious life in many ways. From when I hear it, I'm like, UC Berkeley, you seem like the kind of person that could do a self-paced program on your own, like with your own curriculum. That is really cool you did that. And I would say, I mean, I own a boot camp, so I'm a little biased, but I don't see why there's any reason anybody couldn't learn basically everything. It's not like this information is proprietary or like secret knowledge. Maybe I shouldn't be like exclaiming that on the podcast, but in general, you can learn all this stuff on your own if you know what to learn, which is where I see most people fail, honestly. Like they learn HTML, CSS, JavaScript. They know they probably need to learn React, and then they don't really know how to put it together, or they don't really know when to start learning React, and they fall apart at some place. What was your process for getting together this curriculum? Was it, like you said, just going to other boot camps and looking at what they're doing, or is it kind of researching on the internet? How'd you get that solid of a curriculum down?
Yeah, it's more like researching on the internet. Like I looked at different boot camps and then also like self-taught courses through Udemy, and they all have a pattern, which is what you mentioned, like learn HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and then some kind of framework like React or Vue. But most of the time, 99% React. Of the time, it's React. Yeah. And then after that, it's the backend like Express and maybe MongoDB or Postgres, and then create your like full stack app. And that's like the final product of your self-taught journey or through a boot camp. And so that was like my main goal, was to create a full stack app, even if it's like not perfect. And after that, create something that's totally on my own, like with my own ideas, with my own interests, and display it in some kind of portfolio and try to get some more experience to show future employers that I'm not just a boot camp person or a person doing this for fun as a hobby. So I really got serious about it and tried to make myself look as appealing as possible to employers.
And you did a great job. I mean, I followed you on LinkedIn and I saw your cool rise to the job. And can you talk a little bit about like what, how did you get that first role? What was that process like?
Yeah. So I tried many methods during my job search, and but the one that landed me on this role right now is through spray and pray, like mass applications. And I also did some LinkedIn networking as well. So I was just trying everything. I just schedule it throughout the week to make sure I don't get burnt out. But the ultimate way I got to my first job is just applying as many applications as possible through LinkedIn jobs or any other job sites I can find. Be like the first one. Like as soon as it gets posted, I get an email notification and I just send my resume right away. And I also made sure that my resume is as polished as possible. So I hired someone to do my resume. So that's why I went with the mass application route.
You are smart. And I'm so glad you said that, because too often we hear, you got to network, you got to learn in public. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I've seen every kind of way you could imagine after now like doing this about 10 years. And I've worked at boot camps out my entire career and just kind of in general had a few jobs and done contracts and stuff. So I feel like I have a good kind of idea of what works, and what works is everything, unfortunately. And you were smart because you also hired a professional. I did as well for my resume. I'm actually, again, on the job hunt, and I'm hiring another professional to look at my resume and do that, because I'm like, I don't want to guess anymore. I'd rather pay the $100 to $300 to potentially just get ahead of the people in line. But give me a number. What's the number of places you applied for, would you say?
500, over 500. I kept track of it in my Excel.
Of course you did. How many interviews?
I would say between 7 to 8 interviews.
Okay. Wow.
And only one offer.
Hey, all it takes is one. You know, I don't care how smart you are. I mean, Kyle Simpson, author of the You Don't Know JavaScript series, he famously failed a ton of interviews, and he actually was really open about it. And he failed an interview that was on JavaScript. And that was like mind blowing, because I'm like, well, if this guy's not passing that, then what does that mean for us? And I think what it means for us is that these things are really subjective. and not the greatest measuring stick of our ability. So you have to kind of look at it like a game. And it sounds like you kind of gamified the process as well. You say, okay, I'm going to put these things in order, and then I know I'm going to get somewhere with that. In your interviews, how many were data structures and algorithms versus not?
Let's see. So I did out of the 7 or 8, I did two technical interviews, but actually both of them are not like lead code style. It's more like asking, do you know how to filter from a list, or like the question kind of makes you play around with some kind of array or a very simple data structure. So 2 out of 8 is technical interviews on that. The rest, there weren't none. Though the job I have, they didn't test me on any like live interviews or technical. It's mostly just talking about my resume and what I've done in my like other roles that I've done.
This is also underrated and lesser known experience that people have happened. I had this happen too for many of the jobs I've gone to where it was like zero technical interview. I've gone to somewhere it's like all technical. I've also gone to somewhere it's zero technical. It's like just talking and maybe talk about a little system design. I'm at senior manager level now. So that was my last interview. I'm expecting more of my interviews will be like that too. And also for junior roles, you see a lot of times it's based on, I don't want to call personality at all, but it's based on a bit of like, what's the aptitude of this person? Can we see ourselves working with them? Do they have the aptitude? Do they have the possibility of working well here? And you try to determine that from asking things like, hey, what did you do in the past? Kind of getting an idea of like, is this person intelligent enough? Do they seem have the right kind of grit and attitude to do well here? And that's the case for quite a lot of junior developers out there that I talk to also. For everybody that's getting all these data structure algorithm questions, there's a lot more than aren't, I'd say. So anybody out there listening that's on the LEAP code grind, you may want to recalibrate.
Yeah. I also enjoyed LEAP code. So just in case I was asked that, I was ready to. So I did some LEAP coding, like around 100 done on the website.
I like it. Any like easy and medium ones, or do you have like by company
No, mostly easy. Like I didn't want to do by company.
That's really smart. You have a really solid plan. You should I don't know if you've written this out anywhere, but I'm sure people would love to read this if you do.
Yeah, I've written some in LinkedIn, but I need to update the resource guide I had there.
Oh, that'd be really cool. I'm interested myself selfishly, so I can share it with students at Parsity as well and kind of share it around other people I know could get a lot of benefit from it.
Sure.
You wrote a really interesting post on LinkedIn today, and this is a statistic that said 50% of women in tech leave the job before the age of 35. 30% of women over 35 are still in junior tech positions compared to just 5% of men, despite software competency. This blew my mind, to be completely honest, and maybe that's my own bias being a guy. Tech is obviously dominated by men. I'm assuming you're probably one of or the only woman on your team. What has it been like being a woman over 35 transitioning into tech so far?
So far, like I can only talk about my experience at my current company. And so far, I feel like I'm pretty lucky. Like I don't have any horror stories. Everyone in my team have been really supportive of me. And actually, I had an annual review recently, and the CTO and the director just sung praises and gave me a lot of compliments. So I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in the right place. I have a great team and they encourage me. They give me good feedback. So I feel like I might be an outlier from that statistic. And I try to make sure I remain an outlier. But yeah, I think the tech industry as a whole is not probably a good story for a lot of women, because I also go to Reddit and read what other women are going through. And it's just pretty rough out there. And so me being in this position at my company and feeling really supported I feel like it's kind of rare, and I just feel really grateful. I just landed in with a great company.
And also, I mean, knowing you and seeing the kind of person you are, I'm sure you're what I would look at like a superstar on most teams. You know, you seem like the kind of person who's going to go well above the average person in this kind of role. So I'm not shocked at all. But I wonder about this too, because I've, of course. I always think this. I've seen this, by the way. I've been on teams where there was like one woman out of like 20. And the problem that I see with that sometimes is it's hard to hide. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a mediocre or average engineer. But I think if you're one of one on a team, you stand out whether you want to or not. And I feel like that puts like this kind of unfair pressure on people to then like be above and beyond. You are above and beyond, I can tell and I can see. But I feel bad for people that maybe aren't, that are just struggling, just trying to be average, trying their hardest just to be average, and they have a hard time hiding. Like in a team of 50, if you're the one woman or the one like person of color or something like that, you can't really hide as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm like this maybe because of this pressure on myself. Like I always want to over succeed, and probably because the way I grew up, like my, you know, Asian parents, my dad wanted me to be a doctor and, you know, achieve this and achieve that. So I still have that same drive and just proving to myself or to others. At first is maybe proving myself to others, but nowadays it's more like I believe in myself and I can do this for myself. I think it's just that maturity that helped me like steer my focus better when succeeding or trying to make success. And I have to make sure that it's for myself and not for others.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in what other people want for us. And then you end up living somebody else's life, and you could turn around and say, wait, what was I here for again? What did I really want to do? Like, what's the thing I want to actually do? That's cool that you did this. I think too many people, I look at us both as very young, first of all, but I talk to a lot of people and they're like, oh, I'm 25 or I'm 30. And is it too late to, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, there's much longer you're going to be on this planet, I hope, right? Your life expectancy is going to be in the 80s now. If you're younger, it might be into the 90s. Social Security is likely not going to be the same state it's in right now. You may be working till you're 65, 70. So the idea that at 35 or 40 or 45 or 50 that you just kind of give up is a wild idea to me. I'm like, you know, if you want to learn to code or if you want to learn to be a carpenter or whatever, just do it. You know, like you'll probably figure it out. There's something out there for you. Might not be exactly what you want, but there's something out there for you to do. And I would also say this thing about hiding or being like standing out on a team can happen for boot camp grads too. And you happen to have a few things. So you're a self-taught software engineer, woman on the team. And so you have a few things that might not work in your favor when it comes to presenting yourself really strong, but you also have an interesting background. You say, I have a medical background, went to UC Berkeley. Did your background and your education come up during your interviews, or was that like a point of interest for employers?
So my company is SciShield, and they create like a platform for scientists, lab scientists. And so because I'm a scientist, they're like, oh my gosh, you're a perfect fit, because our company is made by, like, this product is made by scientists for scientists. So the fact that I was a scientist was like part of their mission or part of their values. Like a lot of people in my company were former scientists or they worked in a lab before. So I felt like this was like a gold mine. Like I struck gold being able to apply to a company that is full of scientists.
That was smart. Yeah, that's a really smart move too. Like looking for related fields. Like I think Danny Thompson, really famous on LinkedIn, he was a cook at a gas station or something like that. And I believe, I have to recheck this, but I believe he was looking for jobs that were like somewhat related to that. Like he didn't work at like the super cool tech startup at first. He went to like Home Depot or something like that on their dev team. People forget that every place has software developers. Now every industry has a need for software developers. McDonald's have software developers, Home Depot, scientists, obviously. But that was really smart to do that. Was that intentional or is that just kind of luck of the draw?
I feel like it's a luck of the draw. I think it comes with mass applications. I just find every company that has an opening out there and I just happen to find one that fits me.
Yeah, that's fair. For the mass applications, did you pay somebody to apply or did you do all the applications on your own?
Oh, no, I did everything on my own. Like I dedicate Mondays for application days and the rest of the week I do other things.
And you were working full time too, right? You weren't like...
Actually, I did part time. I quit my full time job, but because I had license as a scientist, I can just pick up a per diem job at a hospital. So it worked out for me.
Oh, okay, cool. But still, you were working part time and picking up work too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's a heck of a schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. Tough year.
And now you made it. Now I'm curious now. Now you're in this new role when you're, how many months are you into your new role now?
I think I'm 10 months, so almost
Whoa.
A year.
Nice. Early congrats. That's awesome. Especially getting a good review like that. That's really cool. That's a great way to start. I know that was a scary time for me getting that first review. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was going to get fired like every day for a while.
I was too. It's just weird. Yeah. Like, especially the first 3 months, I was thinking I was going to get fired every single day for those first 3 months until I had like a one-on-one heart-to-heart talk with my director and manager, and that calmed me down. Like when I got like good feedback, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm doing okay then. I'm not going to get fired.
Yeah, right? It's so funny how the problems in our head are sometimes just in our head. There's like a quote about that. Like most of the worst things in my life never happened to me. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything you wish you had learned before starting the role? Like, is there, if you could go back and like, oh, I wish I'd learned this one thing before I started my software career?
I don't think so. I've done a lot of research before jumping in deep dive into career switching because I want to make sure I know what I'm getting into. Like I made sure I had my finances in order. I want to make sure like I have my curriculum ready, schedule figured out. Like I did the career switch with a lot of knowledge and like there's nothing surprising. Like, especially during the time of layoffs around that time, I was like, okay, I expected this. I just need to keep doing what I was doing, keep learning new skills, get experiences through volunteering. There wasn't anything that I would have done differently if I were to start over.
I like that. You didn't take any shortcuts. You don't have any crazy hacks. It's just consistent, methodical work that you did. I like that. And I think that's the not so fun thing for people to learn. Like there's no hack, there's no language you need to learn or some framework that's going to magically make you more hireable. In fact, I bet you're probably learning a lot of stuff on the job now that you didn't learn on your own, I'm assuming.
Yeah, actually, like I only knew like JavaScript and React. And now my work is Vue and PHP and some other things I don't know about. Yeah, so the fact that they still hired me, even though I knew React, as long as I knew JavaScript and know how to troubleshoot and figure out things on my own, they just relied on me and I just get stuff done.
Yeah, that's the common story I've done. I've gone from like C# to JavaScript to Ruby, back to JavaScript, and hopefully something new at the next place. Hopefully, if I get really lucky, maybe I'll do some Rust. I feel like a real deal smarty pants software engineer. At the next place. Last question before I get to some hot takes. What's the best part about this new transition? About this, what's the best part about writing code for a living?
The best part is that I find it amazing that I don't find work to feel like work. To me, it feels like it's fun. My husband last night, he was like going to bed and he's like, I'm proud of you. I was like, what? Why? Like, you're still on the computer doing work. I'm like, yeah, like I enjoy it. Like, well, I'm off the job. Like, I know my director don't want me to be working like random times, but if I have an idea on how to solve or troubleshoot, I'm just going to open up my laptop at 11 p.m. and code away. It just happens like that. Like yesterday, I was stuck in a problem for 8 hours and I walked away, came back, and I finished it in like 30 minutes. I was like, well, that's just going to happen. And I enjoyed that.
That feeling is great, isn't it? When you finally figure something out, it's like that, like that hit of dopamine you get from solving a tough bug or something. It's hard to explain to people that haven't done it.
Exactly. And then so I feel like I can sleep better and have something to say during stand up in the morning.
There you go. That's true, too. You have that like additional incentive to be like, OK, now I can like share what I did and you feel like proud about it. I totally get what you mean there. That's really cool. Yeah. For people, there's a statistic out there. It's the 70% of software developers also write code as a hobby. So it's an interesting profession that the majority of people you'll meet just like doing it, which is kind of cool. So I think that's why we have such like a large online community of people out there sharing their opinions more so than like maybe scientists or marketers, perhaps. You know, before I let you go, some hot takes. X or LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
Why?
I'm just not active on X, and they keep changing their name. So LinkedIn, I feel like you have to verify yourself. Well, maybe you have to verify yourself, but I get to see like, you know, people's real names and profile. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can see more of their story through LinkedIn than X. X is like a bunch of text updates throughout the day. I don't find it fun to me.
I'm trying to get on there for business purposes and also because there's a lot of interesting news that takes place there. It's like really up-to-date news on tech. But yeah, I don't like the nonstop spicy takes and all the edgy stuff for the sake of being edgy from people that you don't know who they are. So it's like, do you really know what you're talking about? Or are you just some troll out there? Turns out a lot of people are trolling and they're just having fun doing that, which is interesting. I ask a lot of people that question and LinkedIn tends to be the most popular response. TypeScript or JavaScript?
JavaScript. I know, nice. I know like TypeScript is the thing out there now, but currently at work, we just use JavaScript. We can probably improve on it, but it's just down the road. It's not a priority right now. So we're probably one of the few that is still on JavaScript.
Oh, there's a lot of us out there. In fact, Ruby on Rails, they had a recent thing, some drama about them readopting JavaScript. They went away from TypeScript and said, we're dropping TypeScript. We're going back to JavaScript. They just didn't see the benefit. They didn't like all the type gymnastics they were having to do. But yeah, that's funny. I'm learning TypeScript and I'm still using it in some projects, but in general, I find it a little bit annoying, to be completely honest with you. I'm sure people are going to hate me saying that, but hey, it is what it is. I'm glad you were kept it real. Thank you.
I mean, like we're using Vue, so we have to type the props anyway. So there's some kind of like safety guards there.
Yeah. There's all sorts of cool stuff you can do now. There's like a JS doc and an annotation. You can get a lot of the benefits without having to use like TypeScript.
Yeah.
Last one, in person or remote?
I would say remote because I'm remote, but I do kind of miss like maybe an in-person or a hybrid setting because I haven't seen like some of my coworkers like the entire time I was working. Mm-hmm. It's always these blank Zoom picture. So I'm like, I forget what they look like, or I only know their voice. But at least we get stuff done.
It's a trip, right? Like you could work with somebody. I worked with somebody for years until I saw them in person. And it was a shock to see them like, oh, you look different, or you're taller or shorter. Just it's interesting seeing a person in person. I've been both. I now prefer a hybrid mix, honestly. I do like seeing people in person. It's a little different. And also developers, for whatever reason, I feel like never put on their cameras. other departments tend to put on their cameras when they talk, and developers just don't. See, mate, I was working with a dude for a full year. I never saw his face.
Yeah. Actually, so my director kind of required, quote unquote, required us to turn on a camera during stand-up. But I only turn it on when it's my turn, and they turn it back off. But 90% of developers kept it blank.
It's definitely part of like developer culture, for better or worse, but I think it's kind of funny. I don't generally have a problem with it. I think it's kind of funny, though. Well, hey, thanks so much for being here and being like open and candid. I really appreciate your answers. Where can people find you online? Where's the best place?
LinkedIn. Just find me at Vanessa-Fun, or just find you, and then you can see that we're somehow connected.
Oh, yeah. I'll point him in the right direction. Also, in the show notes of this episode, we'll have a link to her LinkedIn profile. Definitely worth following. There's a lot of positive, practical, solid advice out there. Definitely worth a follow. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That'll do it for today's episode of the Develop Yourself podcast. To learn more about becoming a software engineer with us, then check out Parsity.io. If you're not quite ready for that, then jump into our Dev30.xyz program, which is 30 days of working on your mindset, habits, and JavaScript skills. Totally worth it. See you next week.